إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا عباد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in times today which are very stressful, which are worrying. I think it's this is the situation everywhere in the world. The degree of stress varies, but as far as Muslims are concerned, globally we are in this situation. And obviously people are concerned about what is to be done, how can we get out of this, and how can we save ourselves and save our future generations. And we have various meetings and so on and gatherings where we try to think of different solutions, political solutions, economic solutions, all kinds of solutions of how to escape the stress that the world seems to be loading on Muslims globally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu showed us the way and told us what to do. It remains for us to see whether we are following that way or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ya ayyuha rusulu kulu min tayyibati wa'amalu salihan inni bima ta'amaluna alim. Which means Allah is addressing the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the rusul, the rasuls, and saying, O you rusul, O you messengers, eat of the tayyibat. Eat and earn all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal. Tayyibat is pure things. So earn and eat all that Allah made halal and do righteous good deeds. Verily, I am well acquainted with what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this to the Rasuls, not because the Rasuls were doing something contrary to that, but as a form of addressing the rest of humankind, and especially the believers, the followers of the Rasuls, to say that we must focus on these two critically important things. One is earning and eating halal, and the second one is doing good deeds. The two are not mutually exclusive, they are both inclusive. It's not that you can earn haram and spend in charity. Charity from haram income is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is pure and Allah takes or accepts only that which is pure. So a person whose earning is haram, his zakat is not valid, his charity is not valid. He can do as much a charitable work as he wants. In the world, it will have some effect because of whatever he does. But for him, in the akhirah, it has zero effect, because his income is haram and therefore his charity is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Earning and eating halal is absolutely critical to iman. It is critical to the acceptance of ibadat. The ulama have said that a person eats one morsel of haram. This eating refers also to earning, because if you are buying food from haram earnings, that food also is haram. So it is eating something which is, as we say, fi nafsihi, in itself halal, and eating that thing or buying that thing with income which is halal. Both are intrinsically linked. It is not this or that. So earning halal and eating halal. You earn halal, but you eat things which are haram or which are doubtful. This makes your food haram. On the contrary, you earn haram, but you buy things which are halal. Those halal things, for the one who has earned that money and who is buying it from his earnings, those things for that person are haram. It is like eating something which is in itself haram. So earning and eating are both intrinsically linked, and we need to focus on both of them. Today, let us see what we do. We have taken whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, and out of that we have converted to halal what we like to do. We have found compliant ulama, scholars for dollars, who give us fatawa which have zero validity as far as Islam is concerned, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the maker of the rule. We must understand this difference between a fatwa and a hukum. A hukum is the law. A fatwa is an opinion of a legal expert on that law. The opinion of the legal expert does not change the law. Let's try to understand this, because there seems to be a lot of unnecessary confusion in this matter. People say, I have a fatwa for this. It makes zero difference. The fatwa does not change the law. The law is the law. The law remains the law. Only the lawmaker can change the law. In this case, as far as Islam is concerned, the lawmaker is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. By his will and by his hukum, this was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the legislator in the world. After the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islamic law, all the laws which come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not talking about the juristic part of fiqh, the juristic part of Islamic law, this is open to ijtihad by people who are qualified to make ijtihad, not people like me, people who are qualified to make ijtihad. The juristic part of law, they can change. But the laws which are the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, communicated to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the laws which were made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are completely and totally unchangeable. Let us see what we have done with them. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Khamru wal-Maisiru wal-Azlam wal-Khamru wal-Maisiru. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu rijsum min amali shaitani fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, al-khamr, which is intoxicants, every intoxicating thing, every addictive substance, games of chance, whatever is used for the purpose of gambling, idolatrous practices, anything which amounts to shirk, which includes things like feng shui and things like vastu and so on, and the divining of the future, which is all kinds of fortune telling, all kinds of astrology, are the rijusum min amali shaitan, are the worst of the deeds of shaitan. These are the filth of the deeds of shaitan. Fajtanibuhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, stay far away from them, shun them, stay far away from them. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you may be successful. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these four things, which is all forms of intoxicants, which includes alcohol, which includes tobacco, whether it is cigarettes or whether it is chewing tobacco or any kinds of things like this, because chewing tobacco is actually intoxicant but is also addictive. So intoxicant and addictive things, cigarettes are definitely addictive, plus they are hugely harmful to the body in terms of cancer and so on and so forth. Marijuana, for example, which is legal now in the US and in Canada for what they call recreational purposes. So all of these things and whatever may come in the market, irrespective of whether worldly and temporal laws of a country make it legal or illegal in Islam, these things are harmful to the human being, individual. They are harmful to society. They are harmful to the family and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completely and totally prohibited them. There's no scope for anything to be changed in that. So clearly, al-khamr wal-maisir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all games of chance. So this refers to every form of gambling, all that exists and all that may come to be, whether you are betting on cricket scores or whether you are betting on horse races or dog races, hound races, or whether you are playing cards, or which form of cards, whether it's bridge or whether it's whichever, right? Any form of gambling or in roulette tables in Las Vegas or whatever, all forms of gambling. And then Allah said, Al-Ansabu, all forms of idolatrous practices, which, as I mentioned earlier, refers to among the things that we see commonly are feng shui and vastu, and there may be more, and the divining of future, which is all sorts of future telling, all sorts of tarot cards, and the astrology, and what the stars foretell, and all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are completely and totally prohibited, they are haram. And Allah called them the filth of the amal of shaitan, filth of the actions of shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fajtanibu, Allah said, do not even go close to them, go stay far away from them if you wish to be successful, so that you may become successful. Now think about this and say, what is it that we do with our lives? Now we have a situation where today Muslims have legalized. As far as gambling is concerned, we have not just legalized it, we revel in it, we do it openly, we do it proudly. Muslims are the bookies in race courses, and they take that income, which is 100% haram, and they run their whole household on this. They bring up their children on it. They are people who are earning haram and eating haram, and their children and families are eating haram thanks to them. We have Muslims who not only gamble, but in especially with horse races, whether whichever place it is, it's a status symbol to be seen at Ascot, to be seen to be betting in the Derby, breed horses which win the Derbies, and so on and so forth. All of these are seen as status symbols. These are the elite of society, and sadly they are Muslims. Membership of race clubs is hugely contested and sought after. In that race club membership of what is called the box, which is the front seat there, all of this, we not only are committing something which is haram, we are committing that haram as a matter of pride, as something that we are proud of, right? So here is, as far as one is concerned. As far as alcohol is concerned, not only is it common today for Muslims to drink, but in marriages, including in this city, in marriages, you have situations where in some marriages alcohol is served to whoever wants to drink it. So there is a bar area, you can go there and you can drink whatever you want, and then you come for dinner, other people go and eat dinner. Now this is as far as what we have done with alcohol. Vastu, we know, we practice it, we believe in it, we build houses according to Vastu. People who are builders, they build a house according to Vastu, and they say, no, but you see, if I don't build it like this, it will not be sold, right? So why don't you start building temples also? You can make money with that as well, right? And start building idols also, because this also is will get you money. Then as fortune telling, again the same filth is there in our lives, where we believe this one and that one as far as the future is concerned, where Allah said this is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made interest based earnings haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war in the name, in his own name and in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on those who earn and deal in interest, and those who even witness that transaction. We have made fatwa, we have compliant ulama who give fatwa to say that interest is halal in Darul Harb, in the land of war. Now, I have written about this in detail, I am not going into that here. Let me say very clearly that India or America and the UK and Europe and so on, none of these places, or Australia, these are not Darul Harb. These are not places of war. Muslims are living there in peace and comfort. They are allowed to practice their religion openly and clearly. This is not Darul Harb. And taking and dealing in interest in these countries or any other countries like that is completely and totally haram. So this is a different discussion. We'll come to that. But the point is that dealing in interest is totally haram. Any fatwa does not change that, and that's exactly what I said, the difference between a fatwa and a hukum. The hukum is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fatwa is from your scholar for dollars, and that fatwa does not change the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, the same thing as far as all addictive substances are concerned, which includes, of course, tobacco and any, all forms of drugs, the same principle applies. The fatwa does not change the hukum remains valid, and on the day of judgment, you will be held to account based on the hukum, not on the fatwa. Final point is, in this process, we also take membership of clubs which have bars in them, which have gaming rooms in them, and these clubs are established for the purpose of affiliative needs, which is to join together and enjoy life in these ways, which are not permissible in Islam. But we join those clubs and we say that these clubs, you know, we are not participating in it ourselves. It does not matter. As a member of the club, you are a shareholder in the property and you are responsible for whatever happens on that property. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are accountable, because that is the legality of being a member of a club. Go look up the bylaws of the club, go look up the constitution of the club and understand what is your status. You are a shareholder in the property. Tomorrow, if the club is dissolved and sold, you will get a share of the proceeds, and therefore you are responsible for whatever happens in that club. Do not fool yourself, because on the day of judgment, you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will have to answer why you were a shareholder in a place which was established for the irtikab of haram, for the propagation of haram, for the indulgence of haram, and why you introduced your children to that and your grandchildren to that. You are going to be held accountable for that. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be parents on the day of judgment who will see their children being thrown into the hellfire, and they will know that they were the cause for the child to go into the hellfire. Look at your child in your face and ask yourself if that is what you want to do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and to help us to stop fooling ourselves. We are worried about external conditions. External conditions are a result of our internal state, and that internal state depends on what we earn and how we earn and what we eat and what kinds of deeds we do. More tomorrow, inshallah. As far as this is concerned, for today this is sufficient. Think about this. Any change that you need to make in your life with respect to earning and eating halal and doing righteous deeds, the time to do that is right now. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.